All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are digging deeper once again into Revelation. This week, looking at the second horseman of the apocalypse in Revelation 6, verses 3 and 4. So now, as we look at these horsemen, last week, especially with the context of chapters 6 through 16, will be much longer than looking at the other three. But I want to take each seal individually so that we may have a chance to really dig deep into this. So Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come," and out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. So far our text for this week. Again, we'll start off with Ecumenius as he tries to figure out, okay, how does this work as a good work that Jesus does for our salvation? He says, the second good work of Christ toward us is the temptation of the Lord and his victory over the tempter. This loosened the second seal of the scroll and granted to us the loosing of our shame and the restoration of the vision of God. And this occurred not only that Christ might know victory, but that the interloper, beaten down, might no longer bite the heel of the horseman or trip us up in our spiritual walk, but rather that he might fall down and be sent away like a slave and hear from man whom he had defeated, "Begone, Satan." So we have this idea that, okay, this taking away of peace, well, this was the temptation of Jesus. Now, that one I don't get, but I wanted to put it out there because, like I said, Ecumenius has this weird out there vibe. Victorinus, writing in the 3rd century, says, this passage signifies those wars which will occur in the future as we read in the gospel, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes on the earth. Luke 21, verses 10 to 11. This is the red horse. I mean, this is definitely warfare as he takes away peace from the earth. Tychonius says, this red horse gory, not with its own blood, but with the blood of others. It is sent in to take that peace from the earth that passes all understanding. For the church is taught both from deed and from the sword. So now Tychonius says, okay, this is not just taking away peace, but this is taking away the peace of Christ from the world, which definitely will lead to great suffering. Caesarius of Arles says that the red horse is an evil people whose rider is the devil. It is said to be red because it has been made red with blood of multitudes, and a sharp sword was given to it to take peace from the earth. This means that the devil's connivance and influence, evil people join together and do not cease to incite among themselves strife and dissension, even unto death. So this is going to be, yes, there is wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus once said. Dr. Brighton says, the horse is red, perhaps blood red, and the one sitting on it has permission to take peace from the earth by human beings slaughtering one another. The great sword that was given to him symbolizes this role of destroyer of peace. The fact that the great sword is given to him indicates that he is acting under someone's permission. It is not stated by whose permissive will he is thus acting, but the fact that it is the Lamb who ushers in the rider on the red horse with the opening of the second seal suggests that it is by the permissive will of the exalted Lord Christ. So we have here, once again, Jesus's permissive will, allowing the evil to happen, not being the author of it, but allowing it to happen. Why? To bring us to repentance. He wants us to know him and his peace. And it may simply be we have to understand that peace by having it taken away from us. Many of the people who went through World War I or World War II, where the fighting was actually taking place in their hometown, yeah, they may have been sitting in relatively peaceful times before that. But now, having that peace taken away by the warfare that had ravaged their town and their area and country truly makes them appreciate peace all the more. So sometimes it is that permissive will of even like the parent taking away something that the child truly desires and enjoys, but they take for granted. Taking it away for a little while allows them to see just how precious that thing is. And now as we go through from a historical viewpoint, Leon Morris in the Tyndale Commentary talks a little bit about it, that God uses history for history's judgment, and in this way works out his purpose. As distinct from the wars of conquest of the first writer, this one is concerned with civil war. Barclay says that between 67 and 37 BC, 100,000 men perished in rebellions in Palestine, while the revolt in Britain in AD 61, associated with Boadicea, saw the deaths of 150,000. Such happenings form a somber background to Revelation. While this writer is given a large sword, he is not said to kill anyone. Men kill one another. He takes peace away, and men proceed to do all the damage. The word rendered slay is not the usual one. It has a meaning of like slaughter in the New English Bible, or butcher, as Berkeley has it. So we have this rider on the red horse with the great sword. Not that he is given the authority to kill, but he is given the authority to take peace away, to bring about what naturally happens when there is anarchy, is that it is, again, man's inhumanity to man, brought about by the fact that there is nothing to keep people together. There is nothing, there's no glue to hold us together anymore, that we have the fractures of civil war, whether it is the ones in Palestine between 67 and 37, which is between when Rome takes over Palestine and when Herod the Great is proclaimed king over the Palestine area, 100,000 people die in that. Or if it's any other civil war that has gone on throughout history, where you have one country split apart into two, many times irrevocably, sometimes it does meld back together. That is all, again, once that peace comes back in. But here we're given this idea that there is not going to be that peace being brought back in. That peace has been taken away from the earth so that we simply do what looks best in our own eyes. And again, as we see from the second horseman of the apocalypse, it is not a good thing when there is no peace. And that's exactly what the prophets talk about, especially Jeremiah, where everybody's talking about peace, peace, and when there is no peace. It's like, no, this is going to be a time of devastation brought about by people against those who at one time they were united with. That is Leon Morris's take on it. And I have a great admiration for this, because it is that idea that it's not just destruction and conquering. It is the splitting apart of society, which we also see happening, not by war of violence, but war of words. I mean, look at social media, the thing that is supposed to bring us all together and help us to share our ideas. That is one of the most prominent places where there is division, where there is the destruction of peace. We have that in our world today. This is happening because this is the way people are when peace is taken away. All right, that's it for this week. As I said, a bit shorter for these as we take each seal separately so that we can dig deep into it. Next week, third horseman, black horse. And we go from white to red to black. You know this has got to be getting even worse. So come back next week and we will look at the third horseman. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, digging deeper with me into Revelation. And I pray that it has helped you to be strengthened to wrestle with the theologies around you today and always. Amen.